All right, the recording has been started, and go ahead and introduce yourself, Greg. And Dr. Burkhardt, I know you said you had a different plan for tonight, so if you want to go into that, you can do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have nothing to say, I'll just go ahead and jump right in. That works. So hello, everyone. My name is Greg Madden. I have a quick little, just a small presentation I'm going to show you guys. Initially, we're going to talk about a few different things, but we're going to focus on the CISSP today. And I'm going to talk, everyone's going to talk about, you know, their path to it. I'm going to kind of show you my path and some of the resources I used and the concepts to help you familiarize yourself with thinking, the line of thinking you have to for the CISSP. So hang on 1 second.
Greg, while you do this, please remind everybody, when did you pass the exam? When did you take the exam? When did you pass? You know, what's your job now, maybe?
Yeah, I have a lot of, half of that is in my little intro here. So okay. Let me pull this up. Okay,
I'm sorry, Greg. For everybody else that wants to talk, remember, if you're CPE, if you are CISSP, this counts as a presentation hour. And if you want to present afterwards on another day, a full hour, let me know. You're welcome to. It will count as CPEs. It's great on a resume to have something where you are a speaker at Purdue. All you have to do is volunteer an hour. Or, you know, in some cases, you could, for example, Mindy and Greg, maybe you split half hour each. We've done that too. Or Joseph and Sungwoo. I mean, however you want. You could work something where it's not too difficult to do. It's a great opportunity to build up your resume. I urge you guys to, you know, get back in touch with me and Dr. Burton, and you know, we can, you know, we can help you to progress in your career. Okay, Greg, back to you.
All right, can everybody see the screen?
Yeah.
So again, my name is Greg Madden. This is just going to be a quick introduction. I had a longer thing set up, but when Dr. Burkhardt discussed, you know, kind of bringing everyone in to get everyone's opinion, I tried to shorten it so that everyone would get a chance to speak after me and not try to teach you everything all at once. So first off, a little about me. I am CISSP. I passed the test in July of 2019, and actually Dr. Burkhardt was one of the ones that sponsored me so that I could, you know, become an official CISSP. I do have my bachelor's in cybersecurity. I got that from Purdue Global, also in July of 2019. I got my associate's. It was actually Kaplan at the time, but still Purdue Global. Currently, I'm an information security officer for an organization called Virtua Group Corporation. It's a contractor style position where I am acting ISO for multiple clients. I'm a U.S. Army veteran. I served as a satellite communications operator. I was also an arms room manager, which is where I really got my start in security management and understanding auditing processes and so forth. Over a decade of IT experience, and about 6 years ago is really when I started diving into IT security. So first things first, if you're in here, you probably know what it is, but CISSP, it's the gold standard, right? It's if you have it, you're distinguished pretty much. You know, it's required for some many security management positions in government. If you get up to higher levels, even in private corporation, public corporations, you're going to have to eventually have one if you want to make it to the top. It's that important. It is 100 to 150 dynamic question test. And so this is what scared me when I first started taking it, is knowing it's dynamic. So as you answer correctly, you're shown more difficult questions. So, and this is everyone I've spoke to that's passed the test, this is a common feel. The harder your test seems, the better you are doing likely. And everyone I've talked to, they felt like they were failing because the questions seemed so hard, but that's a good thing. Because if you're doing bad, you're gonna keep getting easy questions. So you want the hard questions. Another thing is, this is a management level certification, right? A lot of people, we have our background in IT. We know that turning it off and back on is going to fix it, but this isn't that. This is management level, right? You can be a technician, but that's not what it is. You have to think from a manager's perspective. Now, what does that mean? I've spoken a few times in the CISSP courses for Dr. Burkhardt. given my experiences in the CISSP. And this is probably the best example of a question that I'm going to show you of how to begin thinking about CISSP. So the question said, what's the first thing that must be done when an employee is terminated? Now, this is a real, it's not a real question from the exam, because obviously I had to sign an agreement. But this was one of the test questions I found on CCCARE. And I've kept this around forever because this question really separates what CISSP is. Because if you look, all these are potentially correct answers, right? You're going to collect the organization property. You're going to collect badges, right? Someone's going to do that. It's going to happen pretty quick. So you're going to disable the user account, right? That's step one. You're going to notify appropriate personnel. Again, it has to happen. And you're also going to perform the exit interview. All of these things are going to happen when an employee is terminated. But now we have to think about this from the manager's perspective, right? A manager is not going to be the one that goes in and disables the user account, right? That's the analyst that does that. Collecting organization property, that's going to be whoever's in HR. It's going to do that. Same with the bottom, the exit interview. The only thing the manager, the security manager, is going to be doing is notifying the appropriate personnel. So the correct answer here is notify the appropriate personnel, because as a manager, your job is to notify the analyst to disable the account. Your job is to notify HR that an employee's been terminated. Your job as the manager is to think one step up. So whenever I actually got this question on the test exam, I got it wrong. Because in my head, the first thing was disable the user account. That's from a security perspective. Step one, you got to kill it for, you know, liability purposes. And I couldn't believe it. I was going back through my test and got it wrong, and it explained it to me. And this question really just separated and made me start thinking about how you have to approach every question. Because with these type of tests, you know that you're going to get some questions that don't make sense at first, right? They're worded in a way that's not meant to be easy for you. And there will be more than one right answer. But the answer they're looking for is the one that comes from the manager's perspective, right? Not the tech's perspective, not the analyst's perspective, but from the manager, right? From the boss. So preparation, right? Preparation, you can Google this. There's 100 million YouTube videos to do this, and I encourage you to look at them. But step one is read the material. You know, I got the official CISSP book. I know I took the CISSP courses through Purdue, but I also Purdue Global, but I also got my CISSP book to have something in hand to read through. I read it front and back more than once, taking notes each time. And this is something that a lot of people mess up with, is that they think just because they might be more comfortable with something, they just don't take notes on certain areas. The problem with CISSP is it's a mile wide and it's an inch deep. Because it's such a broad topic, you're going to be covering so much. So the first time I went through and read the entire book front to back, I took notes on every section, even sections I thought I knew about. I took notes because just from human psychology, writing something down reinforces it. Even if you never go back and read your notes, just writing it down is beneficial. Also, mnemonic devices for date, everything. Everyone knows, you know, the OSI ones, you know. The one I always use is all people seem to need data processing, application, presentation, you know, all those layers. But I use mnemonic devices for everything, from the security models like Clark Wilson, Bellaput, also the different type of encryption schemes and the different encryption bits, everything that goes along with it. If there was a list of something, I made a mnemonic device. Now, when it came test time, I only used a third of them, but because I had those devices and prepped so much, I was good to go. Now, beyond the official materials, read other things, right? If you just use one source, you're going to miss something, because there is no one source that really covers everything. One of the ones I actually purchased alongside this was the Dummies Guide to CISSP. There was a lot of bleed over, but there were a few things that the Dummies Guide talked about, the official one didn't. And that was, you know, it was interesting to me to see that the official documentation didn't touch on everything. And something else that I came across in my studies and trying to prepare was something called the Sunflower PDF. Now, I think, if I remember, I believe Dr. Picard mentioned this in class, but I do want to show you what this looks like, because it's fairly daunting at first. You'll notice, can everybody see this still? So when you open this up, it's a nice pretty sunflower. It's 37 pages, a PDF of everything. It breaks down every single domain, information security, risk management, and it's very deep, right? It's not something you're just going to sit down and read through. But the day of my test, the 2 hours before, I went through this whole thing. Yeah, I wasn't memorizing. I wasn't going to learn anything new, but I was just reinforcing what I needed to know. So the Sunflower PDF is a great resource because it has everything laid out in a kind of open, easier to see way. So beyond just reading materials, practice questions. There we go. Practice questions. So beyond just reading, you have to take tests. You have to find out where your strengths are, find out where your weaknesses are. One of the resources I used was called CCure, and it was the one I found through Purdue Global. And over 3,000 questions. So I ended up with over 3,000 test questions before I ever took my CISSP. And that was just in CCure. That's not including anything else I did. And the important part isn't just answering those practice questions. It's reviewing the answers and not just the ones you get wrong. A lot of people make the mistake of they just go look and see, you know, oh, that one's wrong, that's why. But if you take a test, and you're going to feel this way on the real test, you're not going to be comfortable with some answers. Even if they end up being right, you're going to be almost half guessing because this may be new to you, or maybe it's a domain you're not 100% familiar with. But you may be making some educated guesses along this. And you want to verify when you're reviewing that those educated guesses were correct, right? So if you just guessed that, you know, the seventh layer is application when you're on a note and you weren't sure, when you go back through and see that you were correct, it reinforces. And reinforcement is the best tool we have because this is such a broad topic. And the way I approached it was reviewing every single CISSP domain until I was getting an 80% in every single domain. Right. There were a few that because I had a background in security, I didn't have to focus as much on. I was already, you know, getting good tests on. But there were others like security and software development. I didn't have any experience with that. I was not a developer. I knew a little bit of Python, you know, enough to make myself look like a hacker. But, you know, I was not a developer. And so I had to focus extra time. And because of the grading system of CCure, I was able to really find out that that was my weakness and which areas within that domain I needed to focus on. So beyond that, those questions, there's also tons of resources online. One thing I watched every single day was something called the CISSP Question of the Day. And this is essentially, it's a YouTube channel that shares a lot of information. Every day he offers two questions. And the questions are very deep, just like the real tests are. It's IT Dojo, and you can see, you can just get on Google and type in CISSP question of the day. There's a lot. I mean, there's 104 total videos, and each one has two questions. That's 400 questions for you right there. And he really breaks down, just like I told you, you should review the correct answers and the wrong answers. He breaks down every single potential answer and why it's either right or wrong. So it's really useful, again, to reinforce some of that information. So beyond that, smartphone apps. Well, hang on. Smartphone apps, there's a few good ones, there's a few bad ones, but my belief is as long as you're trying to get better, it's beneficial. I used one CISSP Pocket Prep and Rocket Prep. I would go to bed at night, and before I went to bed, I'd flip through 50 flashcards, or I'd answer 50 questions every single night leading up, you know, for the last month leading up to my question or to my test, which brings me to the final step. The final step of preparation is to obsess every day. So every day you have to do something to learn, even if it's just 20 questions or even if it's just Googling something real quick. If you're not obsessed with this test, you will not be prepared. All right. Even though I obsessed, I still didn't feel prepared during the test. All right. I Googled every day how to pass CISSP, super generic YouTube videos. Here's what you should do, blah, 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 listening, just trying to pick up tips wherever I could because they've passed. Right. What did they do? And one of the most common things across the board was you have to obsess. You have to be doing this at least 1-2 hours a day. And if that seems like too much to ask, you got to ask, is this what you want? You know, I have children, and I tell my oldest son all the time about being great. And I tell him, you know, to be great, there's two requirements. You got to care, and you got to believe in yourself. And I tell him caring means you care enough that whatever you're doing, you're going to give your attention to it. So if you care enough about passing this, and you're willing to obsess to the point that you're gonna blow off your friends, you're not gonna talk to anybody. I mean, I guess it's easy to blow off your friends in the pandemic, but you're not gonna, you know, you're gonna set time to focus and get it done. And if you're not willing to put that effort in, you know, this is an expensive test to waste your time on. So I know people who passed on the first. I passed on the first try. I know a few other people that I graduated my class that passed on the first try. I know a few that didn't pass the first try. And everyone that I know that passed on their first try, they had an obsession. They didn't just want to become a CISSP. They were driven. They didn't just think, oh, I could make lots of money. They thought, this is a life journey. This is a milestone for my life. And I'm going to devote my life to this for the next 2 months, for the next 30 days, whatever it is. And then when you do that, when you set that date in stone, my test is 2 months from now, and you start working. If you obsess over it, and every day, 1-2 hours a day, you do something to get smarter, to get better, to learn more about your weaknesses and read up, you're going to get to a point to where you're passing those questions 80%, right? There's no way you won't. This test is difficult. Don't get me wrong. It was probably the most difficult test I ever took. But if you prepare, you'll be fine. All right. If you prepare and you realize that this is coming from a manager's perspective, you're golden. It's not difficult in the fact that it's hard to understand. It's difficult because there's a lot, right? So the fact that there's a lot means you got to devote a lot of time. And that's going to be the hardest part, is really telling yourself and setting that time aside. And when I went to the CISSP course, Dr. Picard told us, you have to, you need an hour a day. And I did. I went through the final 30 days before my test. I spent an hour, sometimes two, sometimes three a day to make sure, no matter what, when I got to that test, if I was going to fail, it wasn't going to be because I wasn't prepared. And that's the mentality you have to go towards. And that's really those three things. You got to read the material, take tests, and you have to obsess. Those are the three ingredients. If you do all those and you believe in yourself, you can pass this test. It's not impossible. For me, it was 100 questions. The whole time I took the test, I was sweating. I thought I was an idiot. I kept thinking, I've never even, and in fact, I even saw a word. I like to think I have a broad vocabulary. There was a word I had never seen in my life. I had to go get a dictionary after the test, because some of them are difficult. But the good thing is, the more difficult, like I said before, the more difficult your test is, the better you're doing. So as you go through it and get prepared, and as you're actually taking the test, if you feel like it's too difficult, take a deep breath and relax and know that that's a good thing. That's a good sign. If you're getting the low ball, the easy slow pitches all day long, that you haven't been doing great. So don't get too stressed out if you find that the test is really difficult. It's a really difficult test. But if you prepare and obsess and read and test and take your practice questions and you truly obsess about it, you're going to succeed. So before I let the other guys speak real quick, I also spoke with Dr. Burton earlier, and she wanted me to mention something about Purdue Global that we did while I was there. And that was the National Collegiate Cyber Defense Competition. And I was a member of the team in 2019. And essentially what this is a cyber competition where you have a team, if I remember right, it's a team of 12, but you have 8 active participants, if I remember right. But essentially you have a real red team, professional hackers are trying to break into a designated network, and you compete against colleges across the nation in the end of things. It starts off, I believe, it was just Indiana colleges, and then the winner of those go on to face the area winners and so forth, just like any competition. But Purdue Global has this. I believe it was the first year that I was involved with it. It was when they were kind of building things off the ground. It's a great, it looks great on a resume. I mean, this is one of those things, if you have the opportunity to do this, speak with your dean, speak with your professors about this, because one, it's fun. It gives you real world examples of how to defend firewalls, how to patch systems that are broken. It's extremely stressful. And actually, I think we were there for 12 hours, probably. It's a long competition, but it's fun. And you get to work with other people that are getting their cybersecurity degrees, and you all get hands-on experience doing stuff that you're never going to get the chance to in the real world. You can only do some of this stuff in a lab, and for that setting, it was awesome. The whole point of it is for you to lose. They have great hackers on their teams. They give you vulnerable software, so you're set up to lose, and that's kind of the point. The goal being of everyone has all these terrible networks, who can defend it the best? So. It's a really fun progress, and hopefully I'd love to read more about this so that the Purdue Global team advances. We did, for our first year when I was there, we did all right. I was happy because none of us knew what we were getting into. But now that they've had it there for a little while, I think hopefully it does progress and get better. And hopefully other people join it that know a little more. Because like I said, we were the first team through, I believe, and it was a rough outing. But I encourage you all, Purdue Global has all kinds of these projects that you don't always hear about. But talk to your dean, talk to your professors. That there's things like this that you can get involved with because it does look great on a resume. A lot of people in school, we think of, you know, CISSP looks great on a resume. If you're not thinking about your actions that you make and how that you can write them down on paper later, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice. You can get a lot of credit and build out a solid resume from going to something like a collegiate cyber defense competition. Right? That just sounds good. If you go talk to a hiring manager and you just say the words National Collegiate Cyber Defense Competition, they're going to think you're a hacker. So it definitely looks good on your resume and it helps you out in the long run. And anytime you can get extracurriculars on a resume, it looks better in general. So regarding CISSP, read, take your test and obsess. And as far as the National Collegiate Cyber Defense Competition goes for Purdue Global, ask your dean about it. See if you're eligible for it. I do remember there were some requirements as far as when you're graduating maybe, but ask your professors or dean about that if that's something you're interested in. But I don't want to take up too much time because I know we have a bunch of CISSPs here and I want everybody to get a chance to speak. So I'm going to go ahead and shut up now and let someone else jump in.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you, Greg. You reiterated a lot of things that I had mentioned in the class. So I'm glad that you're saying the same things as I am. So perfect. Mindy, you passed 2 years ago about the same time as Greg. You are one of the Mantech graduates. Would you like to say a few words about your experience? I mean, why it helped you in terms of your career? What worked, what didn't work? What advices would you give to Mantech folks and people in the program?
Sure. So my name is Mindy McMahon, and I'm out in Washington State. And for about 11 years, I was embedded with active duty Army in aviation. So I worked with helicopters, and I worked on the computer system that works with the helicopters. Somewhere along the lines, the Army said, hey, you guys need to be certified. We need to get actual computer folks in here instead of just subject matter experts. Which was really the beginning of my education or certification at all in IT. I have a business degree, and that was what got me the job. And then I started trying to get certified for IT-specific things. Along the way, I also found out that the software that I had been supporting for all this time was going away, and they were going to get a new program that was not going to require reps. And so then I realized I really needed to get some certifications and be able to get another job because I knew mine was going to go away. And at that same time, Mantech rolled out this CISSP cohort. I think I was in the second group. I think there was one group that started a few weeks before me. And so one of the biggest things for me with the CISSP that it helped me with, I had not ever worked in an enterprise environment. I had been working in small networks that were very tactical. I could pack it up, throw it on a helicopter, go to a field somewhere, stand it back up in a matter of hours. That's not useful for the rest of the way, for the rest of the world, right? That's only the Army. They're the only ones that do that. And really only aviation, only helicopters. So I started looking at moving to support the Navy with Mantech because I have been with them now almost 10 years. And I contacted the hiring manager for that position. And I said, you know, hey, I'm going to be very upfront with you. I've got a lot of experience. I'm really great at troubleshooting and some other things that are going to be helpful as a system admin, but I've never worked in an enterprise environment. I'm not used to not having complete control over firewalls or whatever's going to give me a hard time. And he said, oh, you'll be fine. And I said, well, I don't want you to, you know, hire me and think that this is going to be great. And I've got some learning to do. And he said, but you have your CISSP, which, as most of us who are on this path realize, has nothing to do with system administration of a server or a server farm, which is what I do. But for him, it was an indicator that I could learn, that I was dedicated, that I was driven. I had the certification and I had worked very hard to get it, and it made him comfortable hiring me to come over. So I was able to get a great job. I was able to get a raise. I was able to stay with the company. It hasn't benefited me directly in the sense that I'm still not directly working in cyber, but it has definitely solidified my career because otherwise I would have been out with all the other people in the greater Seattle area looking for a tech job. And there's several of us out here. So that's kind of the long and short of my story. I did pass it in October of 2019. And I don't want to recover what Greg said because he was spot on. There's so many things. I was sweating bullets as I took the test. Don't give up. I took almost to the last minute. I think I had like 9 minutes left on the timer. And I thought, well, this is it. I'm probably going to fail it. But I made the decision, hey, I'm just going to keep slowly reading each question and really focusing. And I'm not just going to start clicking and get out of here. And I did pass it on the first time. Not having a cyber background and having a kind of unique IT background, I did take the three classes through Kaplan at the time, through Purdue Global. But that really only helped me with probably 70% of my studies because I was coming from pretty much ground zero. So the thing that helped me the most was it's the obsession thing. I listened to podcasts. I listened to ServiceNow every day in the car on the way up to work during my lunch hour on the way home because they were discussing real world concepts that I was very far removed from. I bought an audiobook, so I was listening to an audiobook as well. I was doing the CC Cure test. I really used and relied on the Lighthouse book, which is what I've always called it, and I know that's not the real name. the CISSP official study guide. I think I read that front to back three times. The first time, yep, that guy. The first time we did it in class, it was disjointed. We would do chapters out of order and kind of flipped through it. So then I thought, okay, well, I need to read this from start to finish. And I did. And then I thought, oh, wow, you need to do that again. And I did. I did not ever actually read through any of Sean Harris's books all the way. So I think the important thing is everybody needs to find their own path to studying. I did use it for reference, especially if I came across a concept that I was struggling with. There is nobody that describes things in that level of detail as she does. And I also appreciated that the quiz sections in her books, after I took the test, I discovered that those were the most closely feeling to the real test out of any of my study materials. So I did appreciate that those quiz questions kind of prepared you for what you were going to see on the test. Relied heavily on the Sunflower PDF. When I first got it, I looked at it and I knew none of it. And I thought, oh Lord, what have I gotten into? I'm never going to be able to do this. And then slowly but surely I would scan through it and go, oh, okay. And I actually highlighted when I got a section down and I was comfortable with it, I would highlight, okay. And then keep reading until the whole thing was highlighted. And I at least knew the subject of what I was reading instead of it being completely foreign. You really do have to obsess. I had a conversation with my husband and my son, and I said, look, these next 2 months, this is what my schedule looks like. And I'm going to be doing nothing but studying. And I'm sorry. dinners are going to be tough. They're going to be basic. And actually towards the end, that last week when I really focused in, I kid you not, my husband would just walk in with food, set it on the table beside me and turn around and walk out. He wouldn't even say anything. He just fed me and left. And it was tough. So I think, you know, coming at it from a family perspective, you have to prepare your family that this is going to be something that is worth your time, worth your energy. It's going to help your career. But it's definitely going to affect the family, at least in the very least in that last week while you're studying, but definitely for a couple of months. One of the things I wished I had done as I took the test was I wished I had done a little bit more rote memorization. So when you're talking about, for instance, the best example I have is the development systems development life cycle. There's several models, but say the waterfall model, what is there, like 14 steps in there? I knew the concept, right? I understood the process, but when you're reading the test, they're going to give you a very specific point on their design. And then they're going to ask you what comes next, or do these concepts fit in this stage? And I had to start at the very beginning and go, okay, one, two, no, it doesn't fit. And that slowed me down. And I think that was a large part of what took me so long, is some of these disaster recovery plans, some of these things that have very clearly identified steps. While I knew the concept and I knew the process, I didn't memorize the steps. So that's something I wished I had focused more on when I was studying. And I think it's really important. My biggest advice would be, use all sorts of avenues. Don't just find one book and memorize it, because again, we've kind of covered this already with Greg. It's that managerial thought process. You have to think critically through the question. It's not a yes or no question. And all those answers aren't going to come from one book. And you risk falling into the trap of just memorizing answers, which will not help you on the test. You have to know the thought process. And everybody learns everybody has a primary method of learning, right? Maybe it's reading, maybe it's hearing, maybe it's doing, but we all pick up bits and pieces from all styles of learning. So it was very important for me. I watched CBT Nuggets. I read the CISSP guide. I listened to podcasts and an audiobook. And sometimes there was a concept I had been struggling with in reading, and I would hear it and go, well, that's easy. Why did that not sink in? Why was that so hard? I think that's probably, other than that, a lot of what Greg said. I would just reiterate his whole presentation. It was all true. My test was at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I got up early and I went to a coffee shop. Sorry, guys, you can't do that. And I sat in, at least not in Washington State, everything's closed. I sat in the coffee shop. I read through the 11th hour CISSP book, which is just a broad concept book. And I had my Sean Harris book there so I could dig into things I forgot or didn't quite understand. And then I drove to the testing site, and then I sat down and I looked through that 37 pages of the Sunflower document. And then I walked in and just did it and took a deep breath and went for it. I truly went in with the mindset that this was a fact-finding mission. I had no expectation to pass it. I decided that I had studied so much, I didn't even know what to study anymore. I was at full saturation. So I decided I would go in, I would take the test, and if all else failed, I would walk out and I would know what I needed to study, because I didn't even know what to study any longer. Incidentally, I passed. So that's my journey and that's my story. And if you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you, Mindy. Joseph, do you want to be next?
Sure, that's fine. So my name's Joseph Moreland. I graduated from Purdue Global in 2019, and I passed my CISSP exam August 2018. I was just going to Purdue Global, which was Kaplan, for my degree in cybersecurity, and the CISSP courses were in the curriculum, so I was just going to take them. CISSP wasn't on my radar, but as I started to do the courses, I was like, you know, I could probably do this. And I like a challenge, so we just kind of went with it. But after I passed in 2018, nothing really changed because I'm active duty Air Force currently. As I look at the job market due to my separation this year, with 10 years in IT security, the CISSP really helps with leadership positions. It makes you competitive in the market. So they covered a lot of study habits and things to do, and I can't express like how many opportunities it opens when I start reading job descriptions, because now you're 85-70 qualified, so you can have government positions, GS positions, which are government civilians. So it opens up a lot of opportunities to nail an interview to get the position that you're looking for. And while I did everything that Mindy and Greg did, I obsessed. I read and read and read. It was also a calculated obsession. So the cyber mindset is, you know, curiosity, research, ingest, repeat. Well, when you don't take a break, now you have cyber burnout, which you just stare at the screen and there's words, but you don't know what they mean. And it just blurs together. So when you hit that point, it's no longer effective. So what I had to do was schedule out my study time to make sure that I was prepared for it. And also focus on sleep and eating, you know, not chugging coffee at 9 at night just to study. So as I took care of myself, it helped my brain prepare for the exam.
Can I use it's from one of the systems?
There's a lot of pressure when it comes to the exam. It's daunting because of all the material. You know, you see it in the chat. It's a mile wide and an inch thick. With my exam, I passed question 100 and said, well, there goes that test, because it just kept going and going and going until I got 150. And I said, you know, I gave it a good run. I'm just going to go get a coffee, head home. And as I walked out of the Pearson View Center, the results hit the printer. The guy handed it to me. I just started talking to him. I didn't even look at it. And we just had a conversation. I get out to the car and I was like, I'll try next time. Well, let me see what I missed. And it said, congratulations. I was like, how did that happen? Like, I swore I was struggling and sweating the whole time. And I was like, there's no way. But it turns out that the calculated obsession paid off for me. So, but other than what Mindy and Greg and already touched on, I don't have anything else to add.
Thank you, Joseph. Sungwoo, would you like to speak?
Yeah, sure. Sungwoo Her, I graduated Purdue June 2020, and I took the CISSP August 2019. Like Joseph, I was introduced to the exam because of the CISSP courses at Purdue. And originally, I didn't really have too much knowledge about it, so I wasn't really interested in the exam at first until I started taking those courses. And by CISSP 2, I was really into it. Took 2 and 3 back to back. And after that, I took maybe 2 months of doing almost nothing except dedicating myself to study for the CISSP. Yeah, it's the obsession, definitely. It's the hardest thing for me about the CISSP when I took it was probably how different the questions were compared to the questions you were expecting. I used the official study guide and the 11th hour mostly, and also going to YouTube to try to visualize concepts that was rather difficult for me to visualize through text. I also went to there's a subreddit for people taking the test. They'll share a lot of great ideas and different resources. But yeah, it's just an obsession that you just kind of have to throw yourself at. The entire time I was taking it, by question 20, I was pretty sure I failed. I just did the best I could, and somehow I passed. It's really, all the questions are worded in a way that any of the answers could seem right. The thing you're trying to do is choose the answer that is the most correct. Yeah, that's about it for me.
So I would like to jump back in here real quick. So for everyone listening, that's 4 CISSPs here. And all of us have agreed that we all thought we were failing this test as we were taking it. So if you do take it, don't be discouraged, because you may feel like you're doing terrible. But just remember, that's a good thing. Something else I wanted to talk about that we hadn't really discussed was the benefit. I mean, Joseph touched on some of the benefits that you get from, you know, being able to get into government positions. But from just a financial perspective, I'm not going to get into, you know, too much specifics on money, but with just my bachelor's degree, I had a fairly good job. I was making $60,000 a year, just my bachelor's degree. The minute my CASSP became official, I went from associates to a full-blown CASSP, I had a $30,000 raise. A massive jump instantly because the new position I was able to fill had that requirement, CASSP requirement. Every position I've looked at, once I got my CSSP, because once I realized how much more I could make, I started shopping around. And every single job posting that required CSSP, they were $90,000+. You know, you're there's a lot of money to be made in here, and it's not that hard. You realize the key thing that all of us have in common. But the most important thing is that you have to obsess, right? We're all different people, but we all obsessed enough to the point that I didn't care. I mean, I got children, I have bills to pay, but if the electricity went off in that 2 months, I wouldn't have cared because my job was to study for that test, and that's all that mattered to me. So you have to put yourself in that mentality that the only thing that's going to stop you or keep you from studying is you, right? You can make excuses all day. You got kids. Oh, well, kids, you can sit them down next to you. You know, you don't want to put a tablet in front of their face all day while they don't watch TV. It doesn't matter. Two months of your life is nothing compared to the amount of growth you give yourself with this certification and the amount of resources and opportunities it's going to open up. You know, if you have to have your kids sit next to you for an hour a day while you study, well, once you get your CISP, you can afford a nanny. So it works out. But
Greg, let me ask a question about this. Because in every class, I mentioned the obsession. I mentioned, you know, that you need to tell your family so that they give you the time. Has any of you pretty much ask your spouse, partner, whatever it is, to pretty much, like I gave Margaret the sunflower, and I told her, question me. And she would ask me questions. And of course, it was kind of difficult because she would say, well, it's not what it says. And I said, well, different words, same concept. Mindy, Joseph, Sungwoo, did you have experiences like that where you ask someone in your life to potentially help you with this and you help them get involved and so forth and understand this?
Yeah, so anybody affiliated with the military knows that soldiers are brutal. And I was not only embedded with the military, but my husband is in the military. So my husband didn't really help me study because through the course of this, he was mostly away for training. But I carried around either a book or the sunflower document at work. I always had some study material in my hand so that when I walked amongst the hangars, if I had 5 minutes where I was waiting for some software to run, whatever, I would study. It was always in my hand. And the guys started noticing what I was doing. So they would grab my study materials and quiz me, and they were not kind or gentle. but yeah, I had to find those minutes because my husband was gone, being military, gone a lot. And I do have a son. So I had to find those minutes somewhere. And a lot of that was my lunchtime or those 10, 15 minutes waiting for software to run. And the guys did quiz me, and I don't know how much it helped per se, because as you said, they didn't understand the concept. They were aircraft mechanics and pilots, but it was a way to fill the time. And it was a little bit tweak on studying. Of course, as we've said, you have to try a few different paths. So I did do that.
Joseph?
Yeah, I had my spouse quiz me. It was a way to kind of spend time together through the daunting task of studying. So, and plus they see it from a different perspective, so they could come up with fun little acronyms that you would never even think of, but yet it's stuck in your head because, well, your spouse said it and like it was funny. So so that was the main benefit from it. And plus I wasn't isolated in a room studying. I was still involved with family, but that happened maybe once a week. It was never like a every time thing, but yeah, it helped out a lot.
Yeah, I had my study with flashcards, and sometimes I'd be mad because I got it wrong because I didn't word it the way it was worded on flashcards, but that helped me remember. So,
okay, is there, by the way, anybody else that passed the exam that I didn't speak? I don't know if there's anybody else. If you want to just say something, please feel free to say so. Anyone? Okay.
Babs is here.
Oh, okay. Would you like to give some comment about your experience?
Yes, sure. So sorry, guys. I joined online, but unfortunately, we had a power outage in my area today. So my hotspot finally went out. I had to dial in. All right. So I hope if you guys can hear me, can somebody just signify if you can hear me on the other hand? Since, yes. I can't. Okay.
We're good. And all just right, to let everybody know, Babs passed 3 weeks ago?
Yes. I'm probably one of the freshest individuals on this. So, my name is Babatunde Olawuyi. I work with Mantech myself. And so prior to being at Mantech, let me give you a brief background. I won't take too long, too much of your time. I actually had an engineering background. So, and as you can tell from my accent, didn't grow up in the U.S. I grew up in Africa, studied in Africa, and also partly U.K. by way of Africa. Then I found myself in the U.S., practiced engineering for a little while. Eventually, I got into IT through a friend. So I've been trying to do the CSSP exam for a little while since I got into IT. But every time I see a lot of smart people go for it and then they fail, I got discouraged. So so I started taking the little, tiny little exams, certification on the side, Security Plus, CAP, CEH, building up, but never touching a CISSP because, I know a lot of people that we deal with at work, and they're pretty smart people. They come back, fail. Again, like Dr. Bukai and others will tell you, this exam is inch deep, but very wide. It is. It will task you, and sometimes when you think you actually know, that could actually be your downfall. If you're technical or you think you know a lot of things, you just have to take things easy and think, scale it back, pretty much unlearn certain things that you've probably been doing from your day-to-day job, online it. That's not the way it is in the IC squared world or in theory. We need to unlearn that, and then that way you can begin to learn the new skills. So I've been doing that. The reason why I didn't go for it, that's not to discourage you guys. If you're ready to do it as soon as you finish the rest of your models. The main reason I haven't done that was just personally, I don't like going for an exam twice. I get discouraged. I probably won't even touch it anymore. So I head back for that reason. So my journey actually started back in 2019, or maybe even before then, but I didn't take it seriously. Because seriously, in 2019, started thinking about, I think I need to go for it now. I started with a lot of videos. Cyberry has a lot of free videos. I don't know if they stay free anymore. Watched it, Kelly Anderson. Just trying to see what else I could be missing. Why, how could somebody, most of these folks go for it. Some people two, twice, three times and never made it. Listen to that whole video from start to finish. Okay. Then I transitioned to, what is it? Sean Harris. I went online, found a few forums, CSSP forums. I joined those. I was read through the threading, see the questions, things that how they will ask the questions and how it would trip certain people up. Not because you didn't know it, but because you assumed you know it and you jumped and you picked the second best answer or the third best. And that's not going to cut. So I started reading through that. Then finally, I enrolled with it. When I thought of, at least I got some of the material, so yeah, I enrolled with Purdue University's CSSP co-ops that Mantech sponsored. So now going through that, I started taking it serious from day one, like the other people have told you about, I wasn't gonna go give up right now. So from day one, taking it serious, going through all of the assignment that I assigned you guys to do, group projects, following through on those, taking one module at a time, and making sure I thoroughly, thoroughly got it. And that's through the ISS. My main material at that time was the ISS care books, sorry. And then question banks and CCQR to follow through on a week by week basis. And not just taking the question, but also going back to see, okay, why was certain ones wrong? And to be honest, you're going to find, if you've been in the field for a little while, you're going to find some of the modules pretty easy because they probably sound similar to what you do. But you're also going to find within those modules that you find easy, you're going to find some question like, oh, well, that's not how we do it. Well, you better learn how you better unlearn how you used to do it and relearn how it should be done in the in practice, in the real, if you were doing everything properly. All right, so what has helped me? So as I got closer to, I started going for the 11th hour, a lot more statistical questions in the question bank. And then some philosophy as I see, that helped a lot. Okay, because here's what happened. Some of the stuff you're gonna have to make mnemonics for. Some of the stuff, especially for instance, domain four, for me, this well-known parts, all that, how are you gonna remember all of that? So you gotta have to see what works for you. For me, what works for me within mnemonics was, first of all, for instance, when it comes to encryption, instead of pretty much trying to learn everything, I've just learned one. Learn one that is asymmetric. And then that way, if you mention something else that's strange, whatever, you're probably going to recall it. If it's not amongst my mnemonics, I know that falls on the symmetric. So stuff like that will help. You come up with your own mnemonics if you don't have one in there already. But this Sunflower CSSP domain number four, especially, I studied it. And as a matter of fact, when I was going for my test, I put it up on my screen and I took another mental image of certain parts that still wouldn't stick, just in case it comes up. And as soon as I got in the hall, I tried to offload some of those, like just in case it comes up. I think a few of them comes up. And as pretty much everybody that gone behind before me have said, the exam gets more difficult as you answer, as you begin to knock off one domain after the other, and then you met the requirement, they're going to bring up more. Then when you meet the requirement for that domain, they're probably going to switch to another domain. In my case, it was back and forth. Like it's do your best, then just jump and listen, do your best, analyze. And before you go for the exam too, you're also going to know when you're ready. You're going to know, you've studied back and forth, you know a lot of things already, these materials already. Now, not just because you cram them, but because you learned the right way to answer them. So I knew I was ready. But still, when we were going, I remember Dr. Bukar saying, hey, if you go, you don't make it, it's not the end of the world. A lot of smart people go for it, they don't make it because maybe you didn't sleep well, or maybe you upset yourself on your way, you lost your direction. A lot of things could play other than your study. So if you don't make it, instead of getting all discouraged, shake it off, reattempt within a few numbers of weeks that you are allowed, maybe 30 days or so. That way, in case you still have a lot of things fresh in your mind. So I was prepared for that. But to be honest, I really don't want to do it. So I started going through the questions one by one. I thought I was doing good. And some part I was like, okay, I don't know. I just have to keep moving now. I don't know. I made my best choice on one because some of the questions, like, they were just like out of, never come across them. never come across them before. So I moved on. When I got to the 100th question, it stopped. Hey, can you all still hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much. Since I wasn't online, I wasn't able. So it stopped. I was like, okay. I thought I was gonna. To be honest, I thought, from what I understand, you know, you keep doing. If you miss a few, gives you more chances and all that. So I was hoping if I get to 125, 130, and I don't get stuck, I'm most likely gonna fail it. That's what I was gonna think. Okay, now either fail it, or I'm gonna sit tight for the next 20 questions. And then answer them correctly. That way I don't feel very stuck for 100. I was panicking. So I told myself, you see that I did so well, or I did terribly wrong. But then before I got up, I was like, how could I have done terribly wrong? If I missed a few, I couldn't. So anyway, I got up, walked back in there, still shaking a little bit. Found out I passed. So excited, and like most people will tell you, I've never had to deal with any of them that taxed so much. And there's a reason why it taxed so much, because it builds competency in you, it builds proficiency in you, even while you're preparing for it. Even if you're not ready yet, if you prepare for it, you go through all of these modules and all of this class, you're going to get a mastery of a lot of subjects. And that's why a lot of employers are willing to pay for people that have been through that exam. And up succeeded in passing the exam. You had that to your day-to-day life, work, and experiences. It just builds your value right there and then. So I would say, go ahead, study wide, study deep. Do not camp. If you work for you to listen to videos or watch videos, do that. If it works for you to listen to audio materials, do that. If it works for you to take one module at a time, master the subject, write down what you know. And by the way, one important thing that I'm not sure if other people mentioned before me was, keep your own personal notes. It doesn't matter if you're going to write them by hand, if you feel that way, or if you're going to type them out. Keep your own personal notes. See, here's what happens when you study something and you also write personal notes, especially things that you taught misled you to think along a certain way. When you start doing the review, and that's another thing I did after my 11th hour, right? On the day of the day of the exam, I didn't study at all. I didn't even do the 11th hour. I didn't do no more questions. It was my study notes. I started reading my study notes from the previous day. And as I was driving to the exam hall, test center, I was having my computer play back my study notes because I typed it on Word. I was having it play back to me. When I was parked in the garage, I looked at it. That helped. And then, of course, I told you what I did with the sunflower material, especially domain for me. That's the one I needed. You might find out you needed something else. So that helps a lot. That helps a lot. You never take this exam for granted. Over 4,000 questions, practice question in CCQ, right? Do you know how many came out word for word? Can you guys guess? Like two, word for word. Now, don't get scared like, oh, no, I'm going to do those thousands of questions, only two going to come up. But see, the other one that didn't come up word for word, they came up there in concept. The same concept was there. So CCQ, and my preparation over the time, I've used it to go read about those aspects. Why do I keep confusing BCP with BRP? Why? Probably you had a few questions in CCK that's already answered that for you. So when they do rephrase their own question, regardless of how they rephrased it, you gotta read it twice. Did I say that right? You gotta read the question at least twice for me. Three times. You know, English is not my first language. That's the second language to me. So I gotta read it again. And I also like the advice that Dr. Bouquet gave, saying, hey, you know what? You sometimes don't start arguing with the examiners. Why would they word the questions this way? Because I would get a little offended, but they could have worded it this way, right? You know, it's not about them right now. We just do what you have to do to pass this exam. So in my case, I read it twice. I looked through the options. I thought I picked one. Then I go back and read the question again, just in case. It tried to mislead me by how they worded it. And that helped. And like I said, when I got to the 100, I thought I was still on time. I still have plenty of time left. So that's one of the reasons why I was scared, like, okay. Usually when you pass by 100, it stops your test stop by 100. Either you fail terribly or you're doing so well. But you know, nothing is given until you go out there and they print you that test scores. Then you actually know. And then the relief comes in. All those works, all those sleepless nights, all those you pushing yourself harder, it pays off now. It pays off. So that's my encouragement to you guys. Do not, and did I mention Reddit? I'm not sure if I took a few notes in there. Reddit was also one of the posts online this time that you're going to find a lot of people that discuss about CSSP. If you could have passed, you could have typical questions that they thought they met up with, and you probably tripped them off. So you might find stuff in there. So that's all I got, guys. Does anyone have questions for me about perhaps the test and anything about this?
There's a question from Von Eric. Von Eric, do you want to ask your question?
Yeah, please go ahead and ask the question because I lost my connection to online. I had to dial in, so I couldn't see the screen.
No worries, no worries. Thank you, Babs, for your feedback. Yeah, if you don't mind, Von Eric, please type it again. Let me see if I can find it. I'm not finding it. Let's see if you type it here. Most of you have prior IT experience. The main concern is that he has none. Okay. Go ahead, Mindy.
Von Eric, I like to say that I had almost no IT experience. Mine was so specific to the software that I ran and the Army equipment, I guess, the VSATs that we used. It was so incredibly specific, it almost didn't translate at all out into the real world. So don't let that scare you. Just understand that you're going to have to do a lot more reading, a lot more listening, maybe pay for a CBT Nuggets subscription for a few months and run through theirs. There's other, of course, video versions, but just understand you're going to have to do a lot more preparing because you're learning these base concepts and then you're learning how to secure them instead of already knowing the base concepts and only learning how to secure them.
And if I can piggyback off what Mindy said earlier, you're not answering tests. So it's not about being an administrator. Just because you can't fix a printer, it doesn't matter. Because if you've never touched a DC or you've never built or messed with Exchange, it doesn't matter. Because it's a theoretical exam. So even if you've never, you know, gone in and disabled a user account or programmed a router, you don't necessarily have to, because that's not what a CISSP does. Since I got my CISSP, I haven't done any analyst level tasks. I haven't gone in. Well, that's not entirely true. I've done some, but it's not in my daily duties anymore. I don't go in and create new accounts anymore. An analyst does that, you know. So if you don't have the IT experience of, you know, being maybe help desk or working day to day server management and server administration, I'm actually going to say that you're better off. Because if you look at the chat earlier, you don't have any of these predefined hobbies or habits that are going to focus or and make you choose a certain answer, because it's what an analyst would do. So just as Mindy said, realize that you don't have to be a tech expert. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a tech expert. If you put me up against some other server admins, I'll look like an idiot. But you know what? I know how to lead. I know how to manage cybersecurity, and that's what the important thing is. So don't be discouraged if you don't know, you know, all the different levels of how to connect printers or how drivers work or how, you know, your computer board talks to your, you know, whatever. You don't have to know that. And that's the beauty of CISSP. It's not deep. In fact, when you look at any individual concept within CISSP, it's actually simple stuff. Like, you know, it's fairly simple, but the problem is it's just wide, right? So the hardest part isn't even knowing what you need to know. It's knowing all of it at the same time, basically.
Add a few things. You don't need to know subnetting in details. You just need to know what is subnetting. And to go back into something that I say in every single class, the youngest CISSP was 12-year-old Indian kid who passed. And it's after this 12-year-old kid or 14-year-old kid passed that CISSP required 5 years experience to make sure that you don't have book smart people. And you know, the one that will pass is the book smart, not the one that has experience. You just need to obsess, study, cram, memorize, and if you can do that, you can pass. Your experience is completely irrelevant. The question is, how motivated are you to pass? Are you ready to spend 30 hours, 300 hours to study in about 10 weeks to pass? If you do this, you have reasonable odds if you do reasonable effort and you are reasonable person. Okay, now, of course, you could have bad luck. You know, something can go off. But again, you don't need any experience. You need to obsess and study. Joseph, I think you were going to say something. Your mic went off.
I was just going to say it's easier to learn something without any previous knowledge than having to unlearn what you already know and then relearn the concept of how it should be versus how you were taught. So sometimes coming from a technical background, as Greg has said, can hinder the way that you make your choice on questions, because you immediately go to the technical question or the answer, but that's not what it's about. So don't think that you're behind just because you don't have that technical experience.
Does it answer your question, Von Eric? Does anyone else have any questions? Okay, so I'm going to thank you all for attending. Again, this is pretty much a CISSP PDU for you guys, CPE, whatever you want to call it. If there is a question you audited, get back to me and I will send something to ISC Square. And there's the recording, so it's completely legit. Again, if you guys want to do a true 1 hour on a topic of your choice, you know, you want to talk about encryption, you want to talk more, or if you want to pair, you know, Greg and Mindy, Joseph and Sumu, or however you want, if you want to do another event where, you know, you present together, which may be easier to count as CPEs and public speaking, and, you know, let me know, okay? And again, you are all invited to the other events. I think I showed you guys the events. I'm going to just copy this here. For you guys, in the event you want to attend any of those, if, you know, again, if you want to attend, let me know and I'll send you more of those. Thank you. I hope your careers continues to thrive. And good luck to those of you who don't have the CISSP yet and hopefully have decided to take the exam. Oh, yes, for those of you who want to take the exam, Sunday I'm doing a boot camp, Sunday at 9 a.m., a review of all of the domains for CISSP. So if you want to take the exam and you have time and you want to listen, you're welcome to shoot me an email and attend. Okay?
Thank you guys so much for having me. Thanks for letting me speak here. If anyone does want to look me up on LinkedIn, my name is Greg Madden. You can find me on there. more than happy to answer questions there, or if you want to just network and maybe discuss anything, I'll be there to help out anything. So look me up if you have any questions.
Mindy?
Yeah, thank you, everybody. And I'm same thing. I'm on LinkedIn, and my name is spelled strangely enough that it makes it easy to find me. and especially any ManTech folks, if you want to look me up in our global and shoot me an email, I'm glad to mentor anybody that needs help, ManTech or not. But it's easier for ManTech folks to find me.
Joseph.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. It's good to give my insight to respective CISP. Feel free to look me up as well on LinkedIn. It's Joseph Moreland. And I'm always willing to give advice or talk about anything cyber related. It's kind of how I live my life nowadays. So don't hesitate. I'm always open to conversation. So have a good night.
Joseph, I did send you an email, by the way. Okay.
Okay. I'll check.
Sungwoo.
Yeah, thank you for letting me speak. And the same as the others, I'm available on LinkedIn if you guys ever want to like connect or talk. I'm in software right now, but my passion is more in cyber. So yeah, I'm always down to have a conversation, even if it's not CISSP related.
Babs, thank you. Babs, you're on mute.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, thanks everyone. I'm excited for you guys for your journey, and I hope you guys do well as you prepare for your CISSP exams. And I'm happy to be part of your journey to speak for a few minutes. You can look me up as well. If you want to look me up, you work for ManTech, just find BABS on the global address as you show up. Babs Olawi at LinkedIn as well. I'm currently in the cyber world, so any question is related to governance, especially because I live in the Northern Virginia area supporting the government. So if you have any question that trips you up policy wise or anything, you can reach me out on that through those channels. I'll be more than happy to help when I can. So I wish you well, and looking forward to have the opportunity to get to see more of you guys.
Thank you. Anyone else have anything else? Otherwise, thank you to all of you. It's much appreciated. Really, if you want to talk in the future, you know, I am asking you to volunteer and let me know. You know how to get in touch with me. And we can schedule you. And if you want to attend just, you know, as an attendee, it counts as a CPE. Let me know also. And I want to know, you know, your future. It's not because, you know, you passed that you don't have to tell me what's going on. I'm still curious to know what happens to you guys. Okay? So good luck to everybody. Thank you to attendees today. And meeting adjourned. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye, guys.